Good morning. Have you ever considered adopting an animal? There is one axiom that every person with a pet knows in their heart to be indisputably true. Some days, that tiny little creature is just the best part of yet another big long day. Okay, sounds sad until you think, what about the people that don't have pets? What are they? It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, sitting in for Kate Archer Kent, and life can be hard, but fur is soft. We start our day with a look at Wisconsin's world of animal rescue, and you can totally understand that there's been an increase in demand for adoptions. But what about the people that make that possible and how they're managing in this pandemic? I invite you to share your animal rescue or pet adoption stories with us. And I know sometimes these can be stories of people rescues, too. 1-800-642-1234 as we're live this morning. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Our guest is the president and CEO of the Wisconsin Humane Society. Anne Reed, thank you so much for joining us this morning and bearing through our technical difficulties.
It's great to be with you, Lee.
So take us back to when the shelter-in-place order went into effect. Go back to March for us and tell us how the Humane Society was able to pivot and adapt.
About two weeks, I guess, before the safe-at-home order came down, it was clear that we definitely needed to prepare for something perhaps huge. And, of course, it did turn out to be huge. And we knew that the one thing that we couldn't risk was having more animals in the shelter than we had staff available to come to work to care for. So we started a huge push the second week of March to get animals out to foster homes. Typically before that, we would have had maybe about 20% of the animals in our care would have been in foster homes for some reason, and the rest would have been in one of our shelter buildings. In that huge push where over 150 animals went out to foster in a single week and more than 150 got adopted, we flipped that entirely. And really through March and April, we only had 20% of our animals in the shelter. 80% were out in the hundreds of foster homes who stepped up for this period. It was amazing.
Anne Reed, who are these foster homes? Tell us about the folks who have taken these animals in temporarily.
They are listening to this show, I'm sure. They are lots and lots of people who either have fostered animals for a long time. There are a lot of wonderful people for whom that's just something that they do, or others who heard our call at the beginning of this and stepped up to foster for the first time. It is amazing to me that with all the stress that people are facing now, so many people have remembered their love for animals and have stepped forward.
It's been a nice reminder in these difficult times, Anne, that, you know, the joyous little fur balls of love. That's been a nice respite from some of the fears and concerns. It's been a way to allay what we're dealing with today. So when I think about fostering, though, I think it would be wonderful to take in a pet. It would be wonderful to care for it and love it and feed it and snuggle with it. But then when it comes time for it to be adopted to a forever home, I would think for a foster, that would be the tough part.
For a lot of fosters, they do say, you know, we have a group of foster volunteers share their experiences, and that's a very common one. Some of them deal with that sadness by deciding to become that animal's guardian forever, and we actually encourage that.
And I also know some fosters who consider all of their foster pets their own and still look after them or check in on them and keep tabs on them. Where does the Wisconsin Humane Society get its animals from?
We get them from three places. We are the primary source in the five communities we serve for people who need to give up a pet to do that. We serve municipalities and shelter their stray and seized animals in four of the five communities we serve. And because in Wisconsin, there are more people who want to adopt homeless animals than there actually are homeless animals, we're also able to help overcrowded shelters in other areas. So they come from one of those three places.
Wow. And so as you, Anne Reed is joining us, president and CEO of the Wisconsin Humane Society, and as you look at some of the long-term effects as this pandemic continues to play out, what's the impact on our shelters? What's the impact on adoption and on animal rescue in general?
Two things come to mind very quickly. Number one, right now, we're so grateful that people are patient with us because we have very few animals in care. The pandemic has caused a wonderful and overwhelming interest in adoption that we are serving just as fast as we can. But at the same time, because we needed to keep our shelter population down at the beginning, we really needed to sort of turn down the intake faucet, if you will. So we were really limiting intake to emergencies only. So I checked our website today, and across 5 locations, we only have 1 adoptable dog. It is starting to come back up. We are returning to transport. We are turning back to some of those families that we asked to hold off on bringing up their animal to say, it's okay, we can accept your animal now. So that has been, it's just been amazing. The other thing that will change the field permanently is that shelters across the United States, and certainly we, have pushed their creativity in the use of basically a foster network as an additional shelter space, if you will. And the way how well that is working, the way people have stepped forward to do it, that is going to change sheltering forever and for the better. We are really looking at our communities as our 6th shelter, and it's a really good shelter.
Ann Reed is the president and CEO of the Wisconsin Humane Society. If you are one of the generous volunteers at an animal shelter, I'd be interested in knowing from you how this pandemic's changed the way your shelter operates and what are your biggest challenges you're facing this morning. You can email us ideas@WPR.org or you can call this morning. We're live at 1-800-642-1234. And what about those volunteers in our animal rescue shelters? Ann, tell us a little bit about who has been serving those animals before March when we had to find a way to get animals fostered out in as many ways as possible.
At the Wisconsin Humane Society, we have about 10 volunteers for every staff member. So we rely heavily on volunteers to get literally everything done. At the beginning of the pandemic, that stopped. And like many, many nonprofits, we needed to reduce the number of people who were interacting with each other. So our volunteers are home right now, and they can't wait to get back to their work. And, of course, like so many enterprises, we are trying to carefully plan how to start bringing animals and people back in a way that keeps everybody safe.
Some of those volunteers, they would be retirees, right? Some of those volunteers would be in the populations that could be more threatened by this coronavirus than the general population. And yet their selflessness is on full display with the emptying of our animal shelters. So as you look at what the future holds for animal rescue, how are we going to incorporate all the compassion that's out there for our pets and put it to use for their on their behalf?
Sure. It really is that sense that our community can help perhaps even more effectively without or in ways in addition to coming into the building. The idea that the community becomes your humane way of caring for animals means that there are so many things that you can do in addition to actually coming into one particular building to do that. That's what's going to change our field, and I think it's going to change nonprofits generally. It's not that we'll stop bringing volunteers into the building, of course, but that we will think of our work as community-wide and not stopping at the walls of our shelter.
What should I be considering if I were to be considering adopting an animal, Ann?
There's lots of stuff you can read about how to make that decision. Well, we tend to find that people who follow their heart really do well. And it's that sense of just, you know, you look into the eyes, whether it's in a photograph or in person, and you make the decision. And what we and so many other shelters recommend is, hey, go ahead and spend some time together. Either adopt, and if it doesn't work out, we will happily bring the animal back, having learned from you what we need to know for the next time, or foster that animal for a while.
Then when you adopt and when you foster and then they come back and talk to Ann Reed, what do they tell you about their experiences? What does animal companionship add to the equation?
Oh, that's such a wonderful question and such a huge one. I have stopped trying to put words on the impact that an animal in the life of a human being has. And what I've tried to do instead is say to somebody, tell me about your animal. It is, the connection is so deep, and it means so much in so many different ways to different people at different parts of their life. I used to think I could say, here's what it is, And now I just ask people to tell me their stories.
Because in one way or another, it's everything.
It is so deep. It is deeper than words by far.
Well, what if the animal you adopt needs some training, or perhaps the person needs some training in learning how to communicate with that adopted animal?
Sure. We are really big on positive reward-based training. We think it strengthens the relationship between you and your animal, and the studies are very clear that it just works better. So we offer, and many other humane societies in Wisconsin, because we are all separate, offer classes at our shelter, and there's lots of great information online. We recommend that that people look for a positive trainer, and then there's so much you can learn. There's great stuff on YouTube, trips, all that stuff.
Is there any way you can teach my pet to not wake me up before the alarm? Is there a class for that?
What we generally find in those circumstances is that you have accidentally taught your pet to wake you up before the alarm by doing something good when they do.
Again, it's that communication breakdown where I just don't understand what the animal is saying. It's on my end.
It's almost always us.
Anna Reed is the president and CEO of the Wisconsin Humane Society. She said it, not me. It's almost always us. And there's time for your phone calls this morning as well at 1-800-642-1234. Have you tried to adopt a pet during this pandemic? And I'd love to know what your experience has been like. Anna Reed stays with us, president and CEO of the Wisconsin Humane Society. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. All right, I may be partial here, but snuggling up with your pet in public radio, to me, it's an awful lot like chocolate and peanut butter. Maybe it's just me. But admit it, sometimes just seeing a good dog enjoying a good walk can improve any bad mood. Maybe it's a byproduct of our awesome power for empathy. Maybe our awesome power of empathy has evolved in part over millennia by learning to cohabitate, learning to communicate with domesticated animals. Puppy dog eyes? I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're talking this hour about ways to adopt pets, rescue pets, maybe even rescue people. And if you've got stories, we'd love to hear them this morning at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest is the president and CEO of the Wisconsin Humane Society, Anne Reed. And Anne, I'd have to ask you, since there is so much work being done to help our furry little ones, how has the pandemic affected the Wisconsin Humane Society's bottom line?
It has affected our bottom line significantly, and we have so much reason to be grateful to the community. You know, every nonprofit basically supports its work in two ways, through donations and through all kinds of things we do to earn revenue, like adoption fees and the cost of birthday parties and the training classes we were talking about. That whole second category went away in March, and it has still mostly gone away. So just in March and April, over $400,000 that we would have normally brought in through various kinds of revenue like that and used to pay the incredible staff and pay for dog food and pay for vaccines and all that kind of stuff, that all went away. We are so grateful to the community for understanding that and stepping up, and the way people have supported us through actually increasing their donations during this time has just blown my mind. I really thought that with the stress that people were under, that would be something that people would feel they had to hit pause on. And the ones that have not and have really reconnected with their love for animals to support them now, I just can't stress enough how much difference it makes. And that's true, frankly, for any nonprofit that your listeners may care about. Big pieces of what normally supports the work are gone right now, and donations just do mean more than ever.
That safety net doesn't seem to have faltered, though, Anne. It seems like all the work is somehow still finding a way to get done or at least cover the basics in a way that we haven't seen any glaring discrepancies yet, specifically when it comes to animal rescue.
It's really true. The work has continued, and it's just because our teams are incredible. Indeed, we're adding new work, right? So the food pantry that we have for people who can't afford food for their animals had to continue, but we didn't want to ask people to come into the shelter for that. So with four strong partnerships put together very quickly with human food banks, we're now providing food to families through those. So a lot of pivot work has been new and has really meant a lot.
It's because that the evolution of our animals, as I see it, Anne, that we've had these animals go from our barnyard to the backyard, from our backyard to the bedroom, and now most nights they seem to find a way to monopolize the lion's share of the bed in one way or another.
The bed itself, it is true. There's a soul behind those eyes, and people know it.
I am curious about what we know about COVID-19 in animals, and maybe it's irrational, but I've got this fear that if something were to happen to me, who would take care of my adopted pet, and whether or not they would be concerned that my adopted pet could be sick too. Should people be concerned about contracting the coronavirus from pets or giving it to pets?
We are tracking this very carefully, and people need not be concerned about that. Very briefly, here's the situation. It does appear that cats and, to a lesser extent, dogs can catch the virus from each other, and that it is, in the cases where that happens, a benign disease that's no big deal. People are looking hard for any evidence that humans can or have gotten it from animals, and they have not found it. In all this time, there's not one instance of a situation where people thought that a person got the disease from a pet. So the recommendations from the CDC is, hey, we're all trying to stay a bit distant from each other. Keep your dog separate from your neighbor's dog too for a little while, just like you're doing for yourself. But this is not an area of concern, even though people are looking at it very hard.
Anne Reed is our guest. She is the president and CEO of the Wisconsin Humane Society. And if you are fostering an animal, I'd love to hear your story. Foster homes for these animals are always filled with fun stories and interesting challenges and all the love in the world. So 1-800-642-1234 is the number of the studio. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So social isolation for our pets, but our dogs need socialization. They're calling for it. And so in many ways, like we find our children isolated and wondering how to socialize them, when it comes to our dogs, how are we finding ways to socialize in isolation for our pets, Anne?
Well, socialization for animals is not, it doesn't necessarily require conversation the way it does for us humans. So simply being, take a dog, for example, simply being out in the world, smelling the smell, seeing the things, enjoying time with you, that's plenty during this time. If your dog has an absolute best friend that it needs to be with, that best friend probably lives in your house anyway. And if not, you can certainly make strong judgments about what other animals your animal can be with. It's your decision in the end. But dogs want to be out in the world, and cats want what cats want.
Just ask them. As we look at emptier shelters around the state and adoptions on the uptick, we're also looking at folks looking to get back to work. And I had a dog as a child with separation anxiety, and and I still think I have some trauma as a result of that poor dog. What are we going to do for our animals once we start leaving the home again, and how can we make sure or reassure them that we will return?
Yeah, we and other shelters are actually quite focused on this, on separation anxiety for animals who are suddenly at home alone more as we start going back to work. So watch your local shelter's website and watch the internet for new information. In general, what I would say is things that for your animal to do while you are gone are the key. So whether it's a Kong full of peanut butter, putting on some music, giving their toys that can take an animal a long time to deal with. Remember that most animals do sleep most of the day. So it's not like they'll be pacing the floor most of the time waiting for you to come home. But there should be coming out as we all start going out of the house more, a lot of information on things that our pets can do while we're gone.
Are there plans? What's in when it comes to the Wisconsin Humane Society shelters? What are you looking for in the immediate future, and what are your plans moving forward?
What we are doing right now is trying to calculate as precisely as we can. And for us, there are a lot of moving pieces here. So if we bring our animal population back up to X in the shelters, then that takes this many more people in the shelter to care for them. And this many people are going to come to the shelter wanting to adopt them. And just the key, of course, is to keep everybody safe. So we're doing a lot of math right now to try to figure that out. I can say that the things that we've learned in the pandemic, that you can do a really strong adoption with a lot of the conversation happening on the phone, that you can care for an animal in foster in addition to in the shelter even more than we thought, those things will stay. And there will be things that we will look back on that we will say are improvements in the way we do our work that we learned during this time.
How our challenges turn into opportunities in order to benefit our animals who have become members of our family.
Exactly.
Ann Reed, what a pleasure to speak with you this morning. Thank you for joining us.
This has been great. Thanks so much, Lee.
Ann Reed is president and CEO of the Wisconsin Humane Society, and on behalf of all of our cats and dogs and furry companion animals, can't thank them enough for their work. You're listening to The Morning Show, and I'm Lee Rayburn, sitting in for Kate Archer Kent this morning. This is the Ideas Network.